Classy Ring Attire presents the WrestleManias. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Yes.
For the 13th time.
The 13th time finally is here. Again, WrestleMania 13 took place at Rosemont, Illinois, at the Rosemont Horizon Center on March 23rd, 1997. Sponsored by PlayStation.
That's honestly
not PlayStation, PS2, not PS3.
Original PlayStation.
Original PlayStation.
That's the biggest thing that's felt like, oh, we're really starting to get into a time zone that I recognize and I'm familiar with and stuff. It's not that Rock was on this episode, this installment. It's not that, like, Undertaker has finally achieved, you know, main event championship status. It's,
right.
No. Oh, PlayStation sponsored this. Okay, I'm good. I know who we are in my childhood now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's getting to that point where you're like, oh, yeah, I remember having a PlayStation. I mean, then again, I was kind of late to the party on that, but I'm late to always, you know,
yeah,
that stuff.
But you know what's up.
Right. So, let's just get into it, I guess.
All right, yeah.
We start off with the...
Headbangers.
Headbangers, the new Blackjacks, the Godwins, and... Doug Fumus and Phil LaFon for a four-way elimination match to determine the number one contender for the tag team championship. JBL's in this.
Yeah, JBL.
It's one of the, as Blackjack Bradshaw.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good name. I like it. It's kind of
Blackjack Bradshaw.
Blackjack Bradshaw.
Blackjack Bradshaw.
I mean, Blackjack Windham sounds odd.
Yeah,
but,
it does.
You know, but. I get the name. I get the title.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, any complaint I would ever have on a four-way elimination match tag team kind of thing,
yeah,
kind of rests on this one ever. You know, you're never going to see a clean one of those.
Oh, Lord, no, yeah.
Of course not, but that's not what they're there for. So, yeah, you get what you get. You know, that's really...
Yes. Exactly.
It's, you know, and as far as opening up WrestleManias, it was fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was, yeah. I mean, that's
so,
short.
All right. Do you have anything else to add to this match?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Next we have the first appearance of Rock at WrestleMania. Now he's, you know, obviously going as Rocky Maivia as the Intercontinental Champion, facing the Sultan... Who's accompanied by Bob Backlund and Iron Sheik. That seems like an odd mixture.
That seems like the craziest group of managers you could ever want.
Yeah, just full-on team crazy.
Yeah.
Like, got Crazy Bob and Iron Sheik, who, you know, everyone by now
has since revealed himself via Twitter.
Right.
To be quite an interesting fella.
Yes. Yes, and has hit pop culture now with, you know, at midnight doing a, almost a weekly version of, you know... Iron Sheik, Reeler, Jabroni.
Yeah. So,
in case you didn't know, which I certainly didn't, the Sultan actually we know him now as Rikishi.
Yeah.
But he wrestled with a thing over his head.
So that was kind of cool watching Rock fight Rikishi.
Yeah.
You know, just knowing the kind of the relationship there and stuff. It's like going back and watching old OVW videos of... face Randy Orton fighting the prototype, with the prototype being heel.
Yeah.
Like, oh, these guys are gonna be on TV way too much in, like, 4 years. Yeah.
Pretty much. So, Sultan ended up losing, and as we all know, he did it for The Rock.
He did. He did.
That's a later reference!
it'll come later.
Yes.
You know what? It was... fine. Rock will be better when he's the Rock and not Rocky Maivia.
God, he was so terrible as Rocky Maivia.
Like, yeah, it's...
Oh, he really... his career should have not really gone that far.
No, this is like... this is a eye into, like, what could have been if they really stayed the course with this Rocky Maivia idea. And so... But, you know...
Yeah.
Just kind of a fascinating look at... Oh. Oh, wow. The landscape... of not just the WWE, but, like, the entire entertainment industry as we know it.
Oh, yeah.
Be vastly different if this Rocky Maivia character really stayed this Rocky Maivia character.
Yep.
So, but it was nice to see that.
It was. It sure was. Next up, we had Hunter Hearst Helmsley going up against Goldust. Better than his last outing.
Better than his last time.
Because last, you know, as a lot of people remember, in WrestleMania 12, he faced Ultimate Warrior with the infamous no-sell.
With the greatest no-sell I've ever seen.
Yes. But this year he did beat Goldust. Yeah, it's just, it's weird to see Goldust then and now. Like, I don't know, he's so much more polished. Good. Now. Not saying he was terrible, you know, back then, and certainly this is an improvement over that that Chicago or not Chicago Street, but, just that backyard brawl. That's yeah. What it was
against, like, I don't remember what it was officially called, the highway chase fight. Right. Yeah, it's a thing where, you know, Goldust now is so much more a wrestler, and it's you know. Where he's yes. more character.
Yeah, it was more of a sideshow act than rather, you know, an actual, you know, really good in-ring performer.
Right, and not that he didn't have the talent back then, but, like, it was buried under the wig and the,
you and know, makeup and the jumpsuits.
And the being weird Malina to be weird. And the stuff, yeah. So, you know, it's the kind of thing where we talk about previous matches, like, oh, remember when Doink got a WrestleMania match, da-da-da-da, mm-hmm. and now, you know, it would have been like, oh, remember when they spent an entire 15-minute match with Goldust, except Goldust has gone on to, like, you know, what he's doing more recently in the company, like, oh, yeah, that totally makes sense that Goldust should, you know, be of this status, and that Triple H should be fighting Goldust at WrestleMania at one time, you know, right. et cetera, et cetera, but it's interesting, and it wasn't a bad match.
No,
but it's a match I would like to see again better, I guess, which is like a weird backhanded compliment kind of review.
Right. You would like to see them go against each other again later in their career whenever they're a little bit more polished.
Right. There's a lot of unharnessed talent there. There's a lot of stuff where I'm like, oh, there's capable of more,
right?
Either then or now, you know, kind of thing. So I'd like to see more happen there, but not this match again.
Good point. Yes, I agree. Next we have the tag team match for the tag team championship. Owen Hart and British Bulldog fighting Mankind and Vader. First Mick Foley appearance.
Yeah, which Mankind definitely beat all three other people into submission to become the single tag team champion and rule over all of WWE as the successful most champion man of all time. Right? Yeah. That's what I saw.
Do we need to rewatch this? I know it's been a while, but I don't remember that happening, Joel.
No, I'm pretty
what
sure
I remember is what I do remember is that there was a double count out.
Oh, yeah, there was a double count. That's right. I forgot. Yeah, no, it's all coming back to me now.
There you go.
Yeah, it was on, I was unnecessarily giddy about Mankind being there, because he's Mankind, he's there now. Right. So yeah, it was a fine match. You know, there's a lot of like, oh, we're getting kind of closer to the end of some of these guys, so, I don't know, I'm really trying to take some of this time to soak in guys that we won't be seeing a lot more of: Owen Hart, British Bulldog, Bret Hart in the next match. You know, there's like, there's a lot of guys who, as we've gone through these WrestleManias, have been with us for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And I've, you know, kind of like, I feel like I watched their career go, you know, at this advantage of watching one, you know, yearly event.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, Bret Hart's been in every WrestleMania so far.
He hasn't been in every WrestleMania, so.
No, he wasn't in the first one, obviously. Right,
but.
But he was in the second one, I do.
But we've
that.
Watched him. We've watched him go from the tag teams and, like, either the opener or, like, the next opener and, like, and then build up to bigger and bigger and stuff. And so, and, you know, like the guys in this match, like, it's like, oh, let me just kind of take it in and watch, you know, Owen Hart and watch British Bulldog and, like, really enjoy these guys that, as we continue on down the road of WrestleManias, you know, they won't get to see him so much anymore. But yeah, also Mankind was there. I really like Mankind.
Of course, yes. Next, we pretty much just the whole reason for this WrestleMania, really. The submission match between Bret Hart and Stone Cold.
Yeah, this was the best WrestleMania match there ever was, right?
I mean, it's right up there with Randy Savage and Steamboat.
Yeah, I might give it to that.
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, I know my own personal bias because I love Steamboat.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it is honestly hard to say which one is better in my eyes.
It's unquestionable match of the night. Like,
oh yeah, oh,
let's not even wait till the end of the podcast this time around. Let's just go. Yep. I mean, it's so clearly. I don't even have to ask you,
right?
But no, this steals the show. This steals the era that it is in.
Right.
This makes the main event look, you know, kind of, yeah, in comparison.
Well.
And it wasn't the bestest of main events anyway, you know.
Considering who was involved, but yes.
Right. But this is, and it was a submission match, which I normally don't enjoy, kind of on principle. Because right. I'm not a huge fan of submission matches.
Mm.
But so for it to be this good, and these two guys this good, going at each other this well for this amount of time, this is, I think, the best match I've seen so far in this series.
It's up there. Like, it's undoubtedly at least tied for first in my eyes.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. My own personal bias isn't letting me say that it is.
Isn't letting you admit that?
Right. But it is right up there, if not, you know, head to head.
Yeah. No, I'll say it for you since you can't find the right words. This is the best.
Thank you so much, Joel. I was really struggling there to, you know, say things.
Good. I'm glad.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, Bret Hart wins because Stone Cold passed out.
Right.
Stone Cold never submitted, which was a big woot at the time. And this was still, like, I even, you know, watching this, I was kind of, oof, yeah.
Right. And then you had the post-match beatdown.
Yeah.
Bret Hart on Stone Cold. It happens.
Exactly. So, all right. And then next up, we have the Legion of Doom, which is the Hawk and Animal defeating the Nation of Domination.
Which seemed, with a ton of other people in, you know, their quote-unquote corner, but really were part of the match themselves.
Because, of course, they were.
So, basically, it was 3-on-1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8?
Mm-hmm.
3-on-8? But, yeah, basically, this was, you know, Legion of Doom's homecoming, because they're in Chicago. So, everyone kind of went crazy about it. But this was just one big mess.
Yeah.
Just objects and upon objects, including an actual kitchen sink.
Yes. I mean, you know, I'll be honest, this match I kind of glazed over because of the previous match, because I was still kind of
in
Basque mode, just right. Like letting it wash over me, really letting that match previous sink in. So I don't have a whole lot to say about this particular match, but yeah, there was a kitchen sink in it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Chicago Street Fight, yep. So,
which, I don't know, I wanted to like it more because it had Farouk in it, and I love me some Ron Simmons.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, yeah, it just seemed like a giant mess to me. A lot of chaos, which I'm guessing we're going to get more and more of as we get into the Attitude Era.
One of the
hardcore title.
Chaotic eras of wrestling.
Oh, yeah. This is really just the tip of the iceberg.
Exactly. So.
But yeah, ultimately, Legion of Doom and Ahmed Johnson end up winning.
Exactly. Of course. Because of course they did.
Of course. It's Chicago. What, you know, like, you're going to have CM Punk lose a big match in Chicago? Come on. I mean, they could if you really want to get heat with those people, but ultimately you want to end the show on some cheers.
You know what's up.
Yes. Going on to the no DQ match for the WWF Championship, Undertaker versus Psycho Sid.
Yes. So this match kind of gets a lot of flack. But I'm not sure it's as deserved as gets it, you know, as for as much as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has the unfair advantage of, one, having to live on the same pay-per-view as the Bret Hart Stone Cold.
Right.
And two, having to live up to the other Undertaker WrestleMania matches that he has gone on to have.
Yeah, I mean, looking back, clearly this wasn't one of the best. Like, this really wasn't that good of a Undertaker match.
Right.
It was fine.
No, it was fine.
You know, but it compared, like, almost any Undertaker match is going to look, you know, less than compared to a Shawn Michaels match, you know, mm-hmm. or the CM Punk match.
Right, but I'll even put, you know, like, any of his Triple H matches over this one, you know.
Well, yeah.
And anything in the later year as the streak just started to be the streak and build up and be like, this is a thing now.
Right.
It's still not quite a thing yet. Because the bigger deal for this particular match was the championship.
Right.
Over the streak.
Which Undertaker did win, I believe, for the first time
mm-hmm.
here.
Of course he won.
We're
watching WrestleMania.
Right. But I believe this was his first championship, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I've taken it from Psycho Sid.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a fine match. You know, like, it's one of the things that is like, on a thumbs up, thumbs down scale, I'll still give this match a thumbs up, but on a scale compared to the Undertaker streak, it's, you know, closer to the
thumb neutral.
Yeah.
For me, yeah. I mean, so, thumb neutral regardless, yeah.
Yeah. So, that's not how thumbs up, thumbs down scales work.
Well. Oh, well.
Yeah, you cheater.
I'm not a cheater.
All right, and so.
Thumb neutral is clearly a thing.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
All right. As always, match of the night is...
It's got to be Bret Hart.
Unquestionably Bret Hart. Stone Cold. As always, we have to... WrestleMania struggles to be better than the previous WrestleMania. Was WrestleMania 13 better than WrestleMania 12?
What was the main event for 12? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Okay. I mean, clearly, just Bret Hart Stone Cold match alone was really great.
Mm-hmm. The hour long.
The hour long match was the big main match of the night. So that, you know, felt bigger.
Yeah.
But also did take up a third of the.
It took up a third of the pay per view.
Right.
Now for me. 12 was my best of all time at that point.
Yours still
was 8. Mine's still with 8.
But 12 was really good, and now that I'm thinking about it, now that we've talked about it, I can't say 13 was better.
You can't say 13 was better than 12? Okay.
But this was one of the best. They did have one of the best matches of all time.
Yeah. I mean, is that match enough to...
carry the entire show?
Yeah.
Not quite.
Because you had one match carrying the entire show from 3 till 8. So you have one match carrying the entire show as the best thing for 5 years.
Right.
So, but you're saying now one match is not good enough to carry an entire show now.
I mean, I guess it depends on the match, I guess. I don't know.
Does it depend on... No. Well, my point that I'm trying to lay out before you and get you to take up, but you won't do it.
Okay.
Is that we have gotten to a point where one match cannot make or break a WrestleMania, as it once could.
Yeah.
3 was the best, unquestionable, until 8. You know, arguably, that's where you changed. Because of 1, maybe 2 matches. Because of Ricky Steamboat, and because of Andre and Hulk.
Yeah.
Those 2 matches made what was really a really bad WrestleMania, because you look at some of the other matches that we don't talk about. Right.
But that on top of like the overall atmosphere of WrestleMania 3
right,
as well, that had a factor in it.
Right.
Basically, 8, if I'm not mistaken, was the one that was in Indianapolis in a huge dome. Again, the first time we've really been back to that segment.
It was the 2 main events.
On top of some really good matches. So that's what did it for me.
Right.
It was the better complete show.
Right, and that's what I'm saying, is 12, at the end of the day, is the better complete show. We are getting to a point where, I mean, I will stick Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels as the best match of all time so far, but that one match alone cannot compete against an entire full event that 12 is.
Right.
Which is why I would still stick 12 as the better WrestleMania.
Okay.
So, we've gotten to a point... which is a good thing. It's a good thing that WrestleMania is becoming more of a thing. It's becoming a bigger, greater, truer thing.
Yes.
That WrestleManias, you know, 1 through 7, not necessarily were. Especially, apparently, 4 through 7. You know?
Right.
There was a lot of, like, there was one match that really carried it. But since that one match that really carried it wasn't as good as 3's one match that really carried it, 3 was still better.
Right.
And so we've gotten to the point where a match can be better.
You're now comparing entire shows.
But I can do that now.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So, that's a good thing. And yeah, no, I'm still going to stick with 12 as my number one, but...
I'm going to stick with 8 as well. Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, but I think 13 is close.
13 is very close. I will absolutely give it that. And also, it does kind of help with what the main event is and how it ends and how that goes down, because that's the one that's the you know
that's still the most important event. Nailing on the
it
card. Home,
yeah, oh yeah. If you don't get that right, then it leaves a sour taste for the rest of the pay per view.
WrestleMania 27, cough cough.
27, 29. It was kind of on a meh note, like yeah,
cough cough.
Right. So it ended up, we felt like it was one of the some of the worst pay per views because of the main event.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the big thing for this WrestleMania, though, and this comes from watching it all these years later, the big thing from this WrestleMania is kind of a looking forward kind of thing. Stone Cold, still early in his career. Rock is very early in his career. Triple H is early in his career. Mankind is early in his career. Undertaker is just now touching main event championship holding status. So there's a lot of looking at 13 as like, oh, this is going to be good real soon. Which reminds me of 1, where there's a lot of like, oh, I can't wait till that guy down on the card starts making his way up the card.
Right.
For people that I know will be making it up the card.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's kind of like a unfair advantage now that I have looking at this WrestleMania, knowing how many of these people go on to become big deals, better wrestlers, and some of my personal favorites.
Right. Yeah. Also, another thought that kind of kept running through my head during the entire main event is how much I wish Shawn Michaels had found a smile. Because he was on commentator. He was commentating for the main event.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay.
You know what? You got the match you wanted eventually.
Eventually, yes.
Like, it took 12 years. 12 to 18 years.
Right, and that added to, you know, the giant feel of it all. But I would be okay with 3 WrestleMania matches, you know, instead of having 1 Undertaker and Psycho Sid match.
I know. I'm just saying. Like,
I know. Yeah.
You know,
I'll get what I want eventually.
If you're you know, theorizing some butterfly effect, I wouldn't want to touch the Undertaker Shawn Michaels story at all for butterfly effect repercussions that it could have down the line.
Or About Time. It was kind of the same kind of thing. You didn't want to really touch too much because it would change a lot.
Yeah.
So that I like About Time a lot more than Butterfly Effect.
Butterfly Effect's a full thing. I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about the whole philosophical principle of the Butterfly Effect.
Okay, fine.
Sorry, you jumped straight to Ashton Kutcher on that.
It's kind of hard not to.
I didn't. I managed to resist the draw of his magnetic smile that you were pulled so hardly into.
Okay, right. We will run a poll on Twitter or something. Be like, hey, Butterfly Effect, what's the first thing that pops in your mind? 9 times out of 10, I promise you people are going to say Ashton Kutcher.
We'll see. All right. That's about it for WrestleMania 13.
And Ashton Kutcher.
Spinning wheels now. All right, so join us next time. Where we take on WrestleMania 14 and continue onwards towards the present.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.